And so I thought, okay, what am I going to share on? But the title of my message is Welcome Home. Welcome Home. It's a really good message. It's a really good title. But it's about, really, the prodigal son. Who knows the story of the prodigal son here? Okay. Is it really about the prodigal son? Is it really? So this young man goes to his father, and the story is found in Luke chapter 15. We're not going to read the whole scripture, but that's where it's found, okay? And there's three great stories there. And the last one is about, it's called The Prodigal Son, although in my heading, in my scripture, it has something else. I'll tell you what it says later. So the son goes to the father and says, "Dad, I want my inheritance." You know, the father owns a big, large farm, growing a lot of crop, lots of sheep, cattle, everything. Just a very, very successful businessman. He has two sons. And so the son asks, "Dad, I want my portion." And so the father obliges the son. And so what he does, he divides the inheritance between him and his older brother. And so so the son sees this is his way of freedom. This is his way. I'm gonna do life my way. I know what I'm doing. And he just sees, I wonder what he saw. What did he see? That I'm going to have fun. I'm going to invest, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it well, and I'm going to have a good time. So he heads off, collects all his belongings, and he heads off to another land, maybe another part of the country, or maybe another country altogether. And so so he parties, he has a great time, probably, you know, goes to the races, the camel races, probably loses a bit of money here and there, maybe he made a little bit here and there, but generally, you lose money. And he was known to put on some massive parties, extravagant parties, lavish parties. And that's where the word prodigal comes from. Prodigal means extravagant, means lavish. Just like the Lord God was very extravagant and lavish to Emma, blessed her with uniforms for the family. She didn't really need it, but just blessed her. God is good, isn't he? Like that. So the young man, a famine hits the land, and he didn't plan for this. And next thing, he's out of money. He has nothing. And so he goes to this businessman who runs a piggery. Probably knew him. Probably met him at one of the bars, one of the parties. Says, "Jim, can you give me a job? Look, mate, I don't have any work. Things are tight. I cannot do anything for you. I just can't do this. Please, Jim, I've got nothing. I am just, I'm bankrupt." So he says, "Look, I'll give you a job, but mate," because he knows where he's come from. It's like, "I can only give you a job feeding the pigs. Do you really want to do that? That's all I got. I'll do anything." So he heads off with Jim to his farm, and he's working at the piggery. Has anybody ever been to a piggery? Have you been? I went to one out of Katanning, and the farm said, "Look, I'll come in, I'll show you Mike." They're in a big, massive shed. "Do you want to come in and have a look?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "It smells." I go, yeah, no, I'll come. I'll have a look. So I went in there. And I really loved it. Little pigs, piglets, big pigs, big ones, massive ones like you've never seen before, you know. And so I wasn't in there for very long, maybe 5-10 minutes. And anyway, so I left and did what I had to do with the farmer, and got in my car, and I'm driving down the road, and I could smell this smell. And what did I do? What did I tread on? I'm sure I didn't tread on shoes any. On crap, because when I got out to my car, I remember wiping my feet on the lawn and, you know, doing all that stuff. And I was like, it was in me. It smelt really bad. And you don't want to live with me at that time, I tell you. It was terrible. So I'm driving all the way back and I got this stink and I just, in my clothes, in the pores of my skin. I like eating pig. That's about it. So anyway, so that's where he's working. He's starving. He hasn't eaten for days. And he would have been eating some of their food. Imagine that. And while he's doing this, Scotty, so good to see you. You're so courageous being here today, mate. I know the pain you're going through. You're a champion. So he, where was I? Eating, he's, where am I? He's eating rubbish. And while he's eating, Riley's there, he's going, bloomin' hell. He realizes something, he goes, what honestly am I doing? At my father's farm, all the employees there, they have 3 meals a day. And they got left over. And here I am, mucking around, eating slops. And he thinks, I think I'm going to go back home. Imagine what was going through his mind, the guilt, the shame. His father probably going to say to him, I told you, son. I knew you'd fail. Imagine going back. That would be just, that's hard. That is pretty tough. Pretty tough. So what does he do? He humbles himself because I'm going back home. Anything's better than this. I'll go and talk to Dad. I'll say, Dad, I'll just water the lawn. I'll just feed the lambs. So anyway, he trots off and he comes back home. He's probably, I don't know how many kilometres away. And his father, probably every day of his life, while the sun was gone, is standing, waiting, watching, looking out for him to come back home. Praying, Lord, bring my son back. He's probably heard on the grapevine what he's been up to, how he's going. And it's like, you know, he's lost. So one day, the father's there and he sees him from a distance. He sees his son and he's like, oh my God, it's him. He's back. And he's so excited. His heart filled with compassion and love for his son. He goes out and he runs towards his son. Now, in Jewish custom, you don't do that. That is something a father does not do. You do not run to your son. You don't do that. He goes to his son and he picks him up. And the son's starting to talk to him, Dad, I'm so sorry. Dad, please forgive me. Dad, can I just be one of the employees? And the father's like, oh, see, he doesn't care about all that. The son has returned. The son has turned. And he's coming back home to his father. And the father embraces him and loves upon him with great tender mercies. About 9 years ago, at Port Care, we had a lady who came and she served at Port Care for about 18 months. Her name was Val. I got to know Val within about a week because you talk about family, you know. Val, how many kids you got? I've got 3 kids, 2 girls and 1 boy. Oh, that's good. What are they doing? Well, she goes to me, she goes, my daughter, I don't know where she is, Charlie. She got caught up with a group of young people. She said, Mum, I'm going to Melbourne to university and she's going to go there to study. And her mother knew that that wasn't all quite right. And so she never heard from her daughter. She would get 1 card every year just saying, Mum, this is where I am. I'm okay. Don't worry. How would you be she was consumed of the whereabouts of her daughter. She was a broken woman over her daughter. Charlie, you know, I've tried this, I've tried that. I've contacted the Melbourne University. There's no girl there. And so I said, gee, Val, that is no good. I said, we're going to have to pray for her. And so at this time, Port Kerr was on the corner of Ray Avenue and Hampton Road. And once a week, when she would come to serve, we'd take half an hour of the day. I said, we're going to pray for half an hour once a week. And so she would. So we would go upstairs to the auditorium where Port Kerr used to be. It's now the old medical centre. And we'd go up there for half an hour. We would pray. And we just ask God, Lord, we just need you here. God, we need a miracle. She was a woman. She was a Catholic woman. She had faith. And so just continued. I said to her one day, I said, Val, can you bring in a photo of your daughter? She brought in a photo of her daughter. And So I put it on my desk and I would, it seared in my mind, I can see her. I can see her daughter in my head. So we would pray. And I said to her, I'm going to have it here as a reminder so I can continue to pray. And we just continue to pray and pray and pray. And so one day, this gentleman from Melbourne comes in for a food hamper. He was struggling, looking for a place, had no food. He told me, and I got talking to him, told me where he was from. And I said, oh, mate, can I just ask you something? Yeah, sure, anything, no worries. So I went and got this photo and I said to him, have you ever seen this girl? Because he used to hang out in parts of Melbourne where there were drop-in centres and things. I said, have you ever seen this girl? Because yes, I've seen her. Down in Brunswick on Fitzroy Road, definitely in one of the drop-in centres, I have seen that girl. Oh, really? Wow, okay. So I'm really excited. You know, and so I get a hold of Val, and Val, I've got some news. I don't know how good this is, but this is what this guy told me, and so he gave me some names of some places, and so I rang, and we both followed some of these leads up. And one of them was the Daughters of Charity on Fitzroy Road, and they had said that because of confidentiality, privacy stuff, they couldn't tell us, but they do, they've seen the girl there, and they says all we can do is when she comes in, let her know that that her mum's looking for her. So we didn't hear anything. Val would follow up ringing and just nothing ever occurred. Val eventually with her husband went over to Melbourne to just hang out there and watch and look. I said to Val, I don't know if I will do that. That is a really tough call. But that's up to you. Make a holiday of it at the same time, but I don't even think she did that. She was just so consumed with finding a daughter. And some places she went to, she talked to people and they wouldn't give her information. And anyway, she came back and that was the end of that story. Now, some stories don't always end up well, do they? They don't. Why am I telling you this? Because it's not the end of the story. I'm still going. It's still happening. Isn't that good? Yes, very good? So one day she gets a phone call from an anonymous caller at her home and says to her, this is like, now this has gone over a couple of years now. This is not straight away, eh? This is like a couple of years. The daughter had been missing for probably 5 or 6 years. Not missing, just that she didn't know where she was. And she got an anonymous call and said that your daughter is at this address. This is a phone number. You can ring and you'll be able to speak to your daughter. She could not believe this. And she rang and she got to speak to her daughter. It's amazing. Not only did she speak to her daughter, but she flew over with her husband to catch up with her daughter, who now has had a couple of children. And so they were reunited. Isn't it an amazing story? Isn't that great? I think that's fantastic. I reckon the Lord needs a hand for that, eh? That is just, that's God in action. You know, we sang that song today. Even though you think he's not moving or doing anything, let me tell you, God is working. God is doing things behind the scenes that you don't know about. You may not know, but let me tell you, God is working. God does not give up. I was just talking to a young man the other day at Port Care who volunteers for us. And he said to me, we were just talking about family again. And he said, oh, my dad, when I was two, said to my mum, I'm going out to get a packet of cigarettes. He goes out to get a packet of cigarettes and that was it. He left. Didn't come back. He ended up going somewhere, eventually met someone, he's got another family. Doesn't want to know his child. This is reality, this is real. This is what happens. But do you know what? We can't make a difference in our community and people's lives. Give somebody one of these. Seriously, give them out. Invite people here to God's house. Because God, like the story, let me tell you that the father standing there, extravagant and lavishly loving his son coming home, that is a picture of our Heavenly Father God. With his arms wide open, loving you extravagantly, lavishly, loving upon you. That is a picture of God. That is the story. This is the story of Christmas. This is the story of Christmas. It's not about a baby Jesus being born, but it's about the love of our Heavenly Father to us, to mankind. When the young man came back to his father, one of the first things the father said was, bring out a robe, bring out the best robe, actually bring out my robe to put upon his son. And the robe is symbolic of God's, of royalty. It's symbolic of his presence coming and lifting him up. Get me the ring for my son. The ring comes out. In a Jewish family, when a father's for their children, when they're of a certain age, they give them a ring. As a child, they give them a ring. And as they grow, they enlarge the ring for the child. And upon the ring, there's an insignia, like the family motto. And that ring represents your family. And as a child, if you get lost, they'll know where you belong because they know by the ring you've got on. It also represents access, so that you can go and buy goods. You can go to the local stores, and as you're buying goods, they have this wax, and they put their insignia. That's your purchase. That's the first credit card ever happened. And the father, a month later, would go by and pay the bill. You could also purchase your personal goods with the ring. It gave you access. Son, servants, go get me the best shoes. Go get me the very best. What did that represent? To be quite honest with you, I thought about it and I thought, what would these shoes represent? I thought, your new journey, new life. The past is gone. Shoes represent the story, sharing the good news so the son could share the goodness of God. Being a bearer of good news. Catherine, can you come up for us? Thanks. One of the other stories is about a shepherd who loses one of his sheep. He herds his sheep in and he notices that there's one missing. Where is he? I've lost a sheep. Now, if that was me, I'd be going 99% out of 100, that's pretty good. Over and done with. I'm going in, I'm going to eat. I'm going to have a good night's sleep. And if I find him in the morning or he's somewhere, that's cool. But no, not this shepherd. This shepherd goes, man, 99. There's one missing. And his heart must be like, oh, he's probably worried. What's he done? He's wandered off. And that's what the sheep did. He wandered off and he got stuck in some bushes. And he couldn't back himself out. Some stuck in his neck. The shepherd finds. He finds this one sheep. He finds this one sheep. And what does he do? He pulls him out gently, takes off all the thickets, all the what he's stuck with, picks him up, throws him over his shoulder, and carries him back home. And he goes off with the other herd. That shepherd is a picture of our shepherd, Jesus. Maybe today you're here. Maybe you've wandered off and you're stuck. Maybe you come to this church and maybe you're just stuck. You're stuck with things. Well, Jesus, he wants to help you this morning get unstuck. That's what he's about. He wants to help you get unstuck. Maybe you're one that you had faith in Jesus and you're walking with him. Maybe somebody offended you and you're like, that's it, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. Hey, your Heavenly Father, God the Father, the prodigal Father, stands here and he's welcoming you home. With arms wide open, saying, come on, come home. Come on, come back. Maybe you're someone who, you're kind of a part of here, but you're not. You haven't kind of made this your home. Because you're just not. Well, can I just say, make it your home. Find a home. If you're visiting today and you live miles and miles away, I'll help you find a home. I'll help you find a place near you. No doubt about it. The shepherd gets his lamb, gets his sheep, and he brings it back to the herd. The son returns home to his community, his family. All the employees, they're all one big family. That shows me that God wants us to be a part of family, a part of community, not to be out on our own. Because when you're on your own, let me tell you, someone's out to get you. True. Do you remember that trick at primary school? Some of you didn't see that, sorry. I won't do it again. Maybe some of you are here today and you don't know Jesus. You've never, ever asked him to come into your life. You've never asked him to be your Lord, to be your Savior. Welcome home. He's here with arms wide open for you. Not to condemn you. There's no condemnation. Maybe you might be like the other brother who, when he found out and heard there were celebrations because his brother's back home, he's like, what the hell is that all about? He's gone blown everything. He's come back home and my dad's putting on this party for him. He says, Dad, what's going on here? He says, not quite like that. What happens is he goes to his room and he sulks. And the father can't see the son, the older son. And the father goes looking for him. Son, what are you doing? And the son tells the dad, Dad, you know, I've been here all the time. You know, look what you're doing for young Johnny. And the dad says, young Johnny's son was lost. He was dead. But he's now alive. Yeah, but Dad, what about the consequences of what he's done and this and that? Hey, son, maybe today you're thinking of things that you've done. Well, let me tell you that the consequences of our sin and of our action, Jesus Christ still stands there with his hands pierced. He died upon the cross to take all our sin, all our punishment upon himself. And he's here today. And sure, we do. We say, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. We acknowledge that. Lord, forgive me that I have sinned. Jesus stands here embracing you and I. He is not against you. He is actually for you. He is not against you. He wants you to be a part of his family. You are loved. God loves you. He's not angry with you. The amount of people that I talk to that just can't get over that, that God loves them because of what they've done. How can he? Because I've done this, I've done that. Okay, you've had an abortion? You feel guilt? You feel shame? Is that something that God cannot do something in your heart, give you a fresh start, and get rid of that guilt and that shame that you've been carrying for years? Sometimes in life, we've got to come to the point and go, I can't do this on my own. I need God. I need Jesus. He is for you. He is not against you. You are his. So God stands here. You know my scripture, the top of my, where it's most Bible say the prodigal son, the TPT says, the loving father. So the loving father stands and he's waiting and he's watching for you. Maybe you have a loved one. Can I encourage you and say to you, continue to stand. Continue to watch, continue to pray, because your heavenly father is working behind the scenes. He's working for you. Maybe it's a father, it's a mother, it's a brother, it's a sister. It's a child. Maybe today you're here and you don't want to come home. Can I tell you that he'll always be there waiting for you to come home. He'll always be there, arms wide open, waiting for you. Waiting for you. Let's stand up, please. So we have a team here, that a team of prayers that want to pray for you and just want to bless you. And if you're in that place where you're stuck,